I'd like for us to, as we begin this lesson, to begin by reading in Nehemiah. Nehemiah, and we're going to look at chapter 8. It'll serve as an introduction to our lesson, which is about the joy of giving. The joy of giving. Nehemiah chapter 8. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now all the people," talking about the children of Israel, "gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law." These people were standing for hours listening to the word being read. And they couldn't get enough of it. Now notice the response of that. Over on beginning in verse 9. "Now Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep.' For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them," this is what he tells them to do, "'Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.' So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, 'Be still, for the day is holy, do not be grieved.' And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them." What did the words cause them to do? Well, Nehemiah tells them, Ezra tells them, that these words should cause you to rejoice greatly. Don't be grieved. And what were they to do? They were to eat and drink and give gifts to other people. So this day, that was a day of rejoicing, of great joy, was accompanied by the giving of gifts. All the way back in Nehemiah's time. And you know, throughout history, people have shared the joy of giving with others. But man was not the first one to give. Giving began with God. Now, I'm sure we've all probably received gifts that were the wrong size, the wrong color, the wrong style. Maybe it was defective, didn't work in some way. But what's amazing about God is that the Bible says God gives gifts that are perfect. His gifts are perfect. In James chapter 1, verse 17, which is a very enlightening verse, this is what James declares about God. James chapter 1, verse 17. He writes this, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. The Father of lights only gives what is good. Psalms 85 verse 12 says, "Yes, the Lord will give what is good." And what's marvelous about that verse also is it says that His nature, who He is, His characteristics, never change. There's no shadow of turning. So not only does He give good gifts, He will always and forever give good gifts. Give perfect gifts. Perfect gifts. It's said that He's the Father of lights. You know, the very first chapter in the Bible tells us about Him being the Father of lights. Genesis chapter 1, like verses 14 through 18, talk about how He put the lights in the firmament, put lights in the sky, and why He did it. And of course, for us today, the sun, one of those lights, is the source of life for us. no sun, there'd be no life. He put the sun there for that reason. And it's interesting that the last chapter in the Bible, Revelation 22, tells us something else about light. Revelation chapter 22, verse 5 says this, talking about heaven and the throne of God and of the Lamb being there. And he says in verse 5, there shall be no night there, talking about heaven. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So the first chapter of the Bible tells us that He's the Father of lights, and that He put all the lights in the sky, the heavens, the firmament, and they provide life for us. And then the last chapter in the Bible tells us that He in heaven will be our source of life and light. There'll be no need for the sun or any of the other stars to give us light, because it will all come from Him. James 1:17 is certainly one of the most fascinating verses, I think, in the Bible. And so this morning I want us to look at some of those texts in the Bible that tells us what some of those gifts of God are, especially when it will use that phrase, gift of God. First of all, I want to look at some of the physical gifts that the Bible says He gives us. Two of those are found in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's go back to the book of Ecclesiastes, and we'll note chapter 3, and then we'll go to chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and note verse 13. Actually, we'll go back to verse 12 and start. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Did you notice that expression? That's one of those places in the Bible that uses the expression gift of God. Well, what does he call the gift of God in those verses? He says the gift of God is the fact that we can eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. That's all a gift. What we eat and what we drink is a gift. What we enjoy from working our labor is a gift. And he says it comes from God. So when we enjoy food and drink and the benefit of our labor, the Bible says, actually, that's a gift from God. God gave that to you. That's a little different way of looking at it, isn't it? It's called a gift. So every time we enjoy what we're eating or drinking, enjoy the fruits of our labor, we need to remember that God has given that to us. It's a gift. Then moving over a page or two in your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, now notice verse 19. Verse 19, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. The same exact expression. Now this time it says that everyone who has been given riches and wealth, where did it come from? It was the gift of God. And he says they're able to receive his inheritance, heritage, and rejoice in his labor. That is amazing. That's an amazing verse. You know, some of us think about working and laboring as being a burden. But here he says the things that we receive from working and laboring, they're all a gift from God. All of those things are riches and wealth. Well, you say, well, that's not me. I don't have either one. Yes, you do. You may have opened some of those gifts the past day or two. And what should we be thinking? They're gifts from God. Because they came from labor. They came from work. God wants us to work. God wants us to labor. But he also wants us to enjoy the fruit, or as he calls it here, the heritage of working and labor. But he says, even though you're working and laboring for it, still remember that it's a gift from God. And when Paul wrote to Timothy the first letter, at the very end of 1 Timothy in chapter 6, what does he remind Timothy to tell those people, the congregation where Timothy's working? It says, rich, remember that what you have came from God and you need to use it wisely. Why? Because it came from God. It was a gift. All that you've worked for, all that you've labored for, it really came as a gift from God. And that's a marvelous, different way of looking at all that we have in this world. What about our health? I know the older we get, the less happy we are about our health. More aches and more pains and all of those things that go with it. I want us to look at a couple of verses in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 38. I think you'll appreciate this. Isaiah chapter 38. I'm just going to read two verses there. This is about Hezekiah, king of Judah. He was soon to die. And he praised God. He praised to God that he would be given an extended period of time. And notice what verse 9 says in Isaiah chapter 38. This is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. And we don't have time to read that whole account, but it basically says that God, you have done this for me. And now notice verse 21. Now Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and apply it as a poultice on the boil, and he shall recover. That apparently was what he was going to die from. And they were to put this medicine on it, and Isaiah says, you're going to recover from it. Now, what was this? It was a gift from God. And maybe we should be like Hezekiah, and every time we recover from even the simplest thing, we should realize that in reality it's a gift from God. Every time we recover from a cold or we have a cut on our hand that heals, or every time we have a headache that eventually goes away, or we have an ache or a pain that eventually goes away, we should think about it like Hezekiah did, and realize it's a gift from God. Every time we recover our health in any way, it's a gift. That's how we should view it. God has given us that recovery. And of course, that should cause us to be very thankful. The last physical gift I want to look at is found in Matthew chapter 25. Very familiar verse. Matthew chapter 25. And let's look in particular at verses 14 and 15. Matthew 25, verses 14 and 15. It's called the parable of the talents. And God is put as the one who gives the talents. Notice verse 14 in Matthew chapter 25. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. What's it supposed to tell us? That all those things that we have, all the talents we have, abilities we have, whatever they are, they came from God. So when David was up here leading singing, that talent, that ability, came from God. If you're a good singer, then understand that's a gift from God. Whatever it is that you're able to do, understand that it's a gift from God. He's the one that gave it to you. So whatever it is that you're capable of doing, that's the way we need to view it, as a gift from God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter emphasizes this as well. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. He says this about those gifts. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We've received gifts. You've received a gift and I have. We've received abilities. We've received talents. We've received resources. And what are we to do with those? He says we're to minister to one another because we're good stewards. In other words, we're not to waste it. If David didn't utilize his talents, he would be wasting it. If I didn't utilize what talents I had, I would be wasting it. And I would be wasting a gift. And that's the way I think we should view it. You know, how rude and unappreciative and ungrateful it is when someone gives us a gift and we just kind of toss it aside. Well, that's it. When God gives us abilities and talents and we don't use them, that's what we're doing. We're taking that gift and throwing it aside. And see how rude and unkind and ungrateful that is. Now, three spiritual gifts that are all interrelated. The first one in John 3:16. And I know we know that. Let me read it for you out of the New King James. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why did I emphasize gave? Because He didn't have to, that's why. When we give gifts, it's not because we have to give them. So in John 3:16, when it says that God the Father gave His Son, we need to understand that He didn't have to. It was a gift of God. So when we come here to worship, it's a gift. When we get to try and follow in Christ's footsteps, it's a gift. It's not a burden. It's a gift. And that's how we should view it. The very next chapter, John chapter 4, verse 10. Notice the expression that Jesus used. Jesus answered and said to her, this is the woman, the Samaritan woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. There Jesus describes Himself as a gift from God. Jesus is a gift from God. When we read about Him in the Bible, when we pray, when we worship, when we sing, those are all gifts. We should never view them as burdens, but as gifts, because that's what they are. They're gifts from God. The Bible says even salvation is a gift. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, a very well-known verse, Paul tells the church in Ephesus, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There's that same expression again. What is salvation? It's a gift. Well, in what way is it a gift? It's something that God did not have to do for us. He did not have to give us salvation. It is a gift. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. It is truly and in every way a gift. When Paul wrote to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 3, he uses this same idea. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Paul writes, for all have sinned, that's you and me and everybody, and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. It's free. That means it's a gift. You didn't pay for it. You didn't earn it. You didn't labor to deserve it. You did nothing to merit it. You're not good enough to deserve it. You're given it freely. Again, it is a gift of God. And then in that same book, Romans chapter 6, Paul writes to them in verse 23, a very significant verse. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Very last verse says, "For the wages of sin is death," that's what we've earned, "but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." He says, what do we deserve? Well, we deserve death. Paul deserved death. Peter and John, they all deserve death. But eternal life is said to be a gift, totally and completely undeserved. Regardless of how moral and honest a life we live, that is still not sufficient for us to have eternal life. Without the gift of God, without Jesus, we would be completely without hope. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and this is where we'll end, Paul writes to the church at Corinth again. And at the verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." It is such a gift that Paul says words are not sufficient to describe it. It's a gift. Eternal life, salvation. But as we read before, that gift, that salvation, that eternal life is in Christ Jesus. So eternal life is not something that is automatic. It's not a gift given to everyone. Because most people won't do what? Accept it. It's there. They can have that gift. It's available. But they simply will not take it. Because there's a way that that gift has to be taken. And it begins by faith in that gift. Faith in Christ Himself. And that faith leads us to make that great change in our lives we call repentance. We confess His name before men because we are making a change in our lives. We realize that salvation is a gift. And then we go into that water and we're immersed. Our sins are washed away. And we're given that wonderful gift of salvation. Yes, there is joy in giving. God loves to give gifts. And we should rejoice because of what He's done for us. He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. This morning, are you ready to accept that gift through faith and obedience? If you are, we admonish and encourage and urge you to come as we stand and sing this next song.